You'll need your Bible for the scriptures as well. If you didn't bring yours this morning, there is a pew Bible in there if you'd like to use that. We're going to start in Genesis 1:1. That's at the front of the Bible. We do want to be mindful of our pastor and his wife as they're away this week, that they would be having a good time, being re-energized, probably with family, and they will come back nourished and ready to do what God has for them to do here in our congregation. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And then Genesis 2, excuse me, verse 7. Then the Lord formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. That's how it began. Even though that wasn't the beginning. God was, is, and always will be. But as far as we're concerned, man was created. God saw a need to create man. You're very familiar with the story of Genesis, I'm sure. And as he went through the different steps of creation, after every step he said, "And it was good." Can we say that now, that man was created and it was good? We can only answer for our own lives, can't we? We can't blame it on Adam and Eve. I hear from time to time saying, "Well, if it weren't for Adam and Eve, you know, then we would all be perfect and everything would be great." That's what caused the problem at the first, wasn't it? Is that sin entered in because they wanted to be perfect and be like God. And lots of times I've thought to myself, "Well, if it hadn't been Adam and Eve, it would be me." It is me. Because we can't be perfect. As a matter of fact, I went to the doctor this week and found out I was not perfect. You probably realized it before I did, but that was a great revelation. Most of you know I had a hip replacement a little over a year ago. And when the doctor did the x-ray and it came up and he put that on the screen and he started getting these little level out and all these measurements, and he said, your left leg is 3/4 of an inch longer than your right. I said, "Let's not cut it off." So we can all, attest to that we're not perfect. I wasn't perfect before I had that surgery. They didn't guarantee me they would be the same length when I went into surgery. As a matter of fact, they told me it was a possibility that my leg could be longer or shorter. Now, I've got to have the other hip done, so I'm hoping we can get that compensation take care of. But if I become perfect in being level, I'm still not going to be perfect. None of us can be perfect. Only Christ is perfect. He came to earth and lived a perfect life as an example for us. So that leaves us sort of in a gap of, if I'm not perfect, then why did God create man? Why did God create us? Why did God create me? I guess that's an age-old question, isn't it? What is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do next? Where am I supposed to go? Why is there so much uncertainty in life? So we've looked at the Old Testament. We know how that starts out. Let's flip over to John 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. Great to hear those pages turning. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to him by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, Jesus is speaking to the people here. He's speaking to Nicodemus at night because Nicodemus didn't want to be caught speaking to Jesus. Nicodemus wanted to know, but he went in night because of fear of his life. He was a ruler of the Jewish people and their religion. But yet he could see that there was something different about this Jesus. So most of the times in the scripture that we have in the New Testament, whenever Jesus is speaking, he starts off by saying, truly, truly. How many things in life today can we say truly, truly about? This is probably the only one. Things change, you know, within our own lives, things change. And it seems like the older I get, the less I like change. I want things stable, consistent, and the way I want it. And I think that each of us, no matter what stage of life we're in, are pretty much like that. And what you want and what I want might be similar, but more than likely they're fairly different. And so we can't look at each other, or we can look at each other, but we should not look to each other to see what God wants us to do. We need to look to God to find that out. And I'll tell you, that never changes. In another church this morning, the power team is doing the service. And the youth are going to go see them perform, or not perform, that's not the correct term, to give their witness this afternoon. And there's great power in that service. Those people are extremely strong. And they use that strength as a way to get the message of Christ across. God has given them that gift of strength, but he has given them the witness of Jesus Christ. And you think, well, why don't we have the power team? You know, we could do that. But I'll tell you, we have the power, and the power comes from God, and that is the Holy Spirit. In our Sunday school class this morning, one of the members started to go out the door, and the door from the hallway or down the alley next to the pastor's office opened as the other door was opened. And so each of us looked at each other like, and so I said, the Holy Spirit is coming in. And then I went on to say, well, it caused a vacuum when you opened the other door, so this door wasn't latched and it opened. And they said, why did you ruin that? But how many times do we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and we don't even recognize it? we sang How Great Thou Art, and Katie was telling us in this morning that she wasn't familiar with that song, so she asked her mother about that hymn. And she said, well, you look it up and look under George Beverly Shea, and you'll get that song, that hymn, because nobody else can sing it like he sings it. And that's true. We don't have a Cliff Barris here to lead the music this morning. We don't have George Beverly Shea in person to sing that hymn. And I'm surely not Billy Graham. But you know what? There is a constant, and that is God. So the same God that the power team is talking about, the same God that Billy Graham has spoken of all over the world, and the same God that is being spoken in churches and synagogues and homes and probably just out in fields throughout the world is the same. And that is the God that we worship. He is true, He is constant, and He is there. He is here. He is here. As we were preparing, or as I was preparing for this day, Robert and I got to talking back and forth. And we talked about, you know, each of us in our services and the people sort of working together so that it was a continuation and not just one service and then Sunday school and then another service. And so I want to thank a lot of you for being at the early service and for being in Sunday school and for being here. And if you can only be here today, that's great too. And you might say, well, where is everybody? You know, why is the church not full today? I've got the answer to that. The pastor is on vacation, so everybody else goes on vacation too, right? No, I've come to realize that God sends who needs to be here each time. And so there's not one less, there's not one more than what He would have to be here. And if He sent you here today to hear God's word, then open your mind to God and not to me. We've changed things around quite a bit. No bulletin. You know, you haven't known the order of the service. As a matter of fact, it sort of changed as we've gone through it here. And it was to get a point across, for one thing, is we need to realize the difference between tradition and what the Spirit of God would have us to do. We don't want to be so steeped in tradition that we're not available to what God has for us. Because we can sort of look back at the Israelites and see that same thing. And we can look back at them and say, well, how could they do that? God gives them 10 commandments and they add, what, 700 and some laws and additions to that. And you think, well, why in the world would they do that? And they wanted to keep the Word of God to themselves. They were a chosen people, and they wanted to keep it that way. And you think we'd learn a lesson, wouldn't you? It's even written down for us in the Bible. And yet, Christians all over the world today follow somewhat in those same footprints, don't they? So as that speaks to us, sometimes we just need to pause. You know, life is so full of activities and events, and there's noise, even here in Southwest Virginia. And if we're not careful, we don't give God an opportunity to speak to us. Now, I can't stand up here and say, this is how God is going to speak to you. I don't think I've I don't think I've ever heard an audible voice. Although I'll have, probably have to back up and say that I probably have heard an audible voice from someone that I've respected say something that I'm sure came from God. And it might have been in a sermon. It might have been in just a discussion and we had a prayer group or Sunday school or, you know, somewhere out on a work site somewhere. But yet it really stuck with me and made me evaluate my own life of where am I now? And is that where God wants me to be? I can't tell you that. This is a very personal thing between you and God. And that is the wonderful thing about being a Christian, is that it's different for each of us as God would have it to be. Not as we want it to be, but as God would have it to be. He wants you to do some things. He wants you to do a lot of things, really, as a matter of fact. He wants me to do a lot of things. There's some things that you are doing he doesn't want you to do. And there's lots of things I'm doing he doesn't want me to do. But still, it's between you and God. I mean, we need to be sort of fruit inspectors, I guess, as Christians. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, there is a standard that God has set that you need to act like Christians. If I ask you this question this morning, would you rather be here than in jail? What would you say? Say it. Here, right? Okay, good. If you'd rather be here than in another country, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, very good. You know what? If I went to Walmart on a Friday night about 7 o'clock and asked that same question, you know what answer I'm going to get? The same answer. They're going to say, I'd rather be in Walmart parking lot than in prison. And they're going to say, I'd rather be here in the United States than I would in another country, I think. Wherever you go and you ask that question, people are going to pretty much answer the same thing back. So what makes us as Christians different? Or is there a difference? God says there should be a difference, but is there a difference? As a matter of fact, he said that once we are saved and we accept him as Christ and come into him, he said that we are no longer of this world. As a matter of fact, we're aliens. They've been looking for aliens for years. Right here we are. We are aliens. And the neat thing about this is we know what the last chapter of the book is. You know, lots of times we as Christians, we struggle with, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to? Where am I supposed to go? What's the next step going to be? You know, and all of these things, especially, really at any age, we go through these trials and tribulations of wondering. We know what the last chapter is going to be. If we're saved, we're going to heaven. We don't know the middle chapters, but if we know the last chapter, then really all we have to worry about is, God, what do you want me to do right now? What do you want me to do right now? We've got to realize, and Robert did a wonderful job of expressing this in the 8:30 service, is that we can't expect to get all that God has for us in a 20-minute sermon or a one-hour service or a Bible study or a book that we're reading or whatever it is. God is so big, we can't get it in that time. I mean, he can give it in that time, but we just can't get it. We're not capable of that. And so our Christian experience needs to be broad. And it needs to carry over into what we do with every breath that we take. wherever that might be. So we don't wear Christianity on our sleeves just for Sunday morning or Wednesday night or a Sunday night Bible study or whatever it might be. I know you realize this, but I think sometimes we forget. We are the only Christ that people will ever see. And I'm not saying that to build us up. I'm saying that to challenge us. That we need to be different. You know, if you work with youth groups, you know, it's absolutely wonderful. I have been so blessed. And everything that God calls me to do, even though I might be comfortable where I was and God wants me to move to something else, I've always been so blessed by that. Most of you know I taught the adult class for years and years, and I truly love that. Loved it and continued to love that. And each individual that was either in that class now or has ever been in that class when I was associated with it. And I was happy with that. I was comfortable with that. And I was willing to do that, you know, however long God wanted me to do that. And then something happened. And it's George's fault. George comes to me and he said, we need to start a college and careers class. And he said, I want you to pray about that. I didn't want to pray about that. I was comfortable. You know, we had a really good thing going, and then it continues to go. And I've found out that when God asks you to step forward to do something, somebody will step forward to do what you were doing. And not to say that one's better or worse than the other, but that God has a plan, and you can either be a part of it or you can just be left out of it. And so Dustin and I started out over a year ago, just the two of us. And had some wonderful discussions and got to know each other really well, and I treasure those things near to my heart. And the last, 6 weeks, we've grown to about five to seven in that class. And I've told several people, it has gotten to a point, and not that it wasn't when it was just the two of us, but it's gotten to a point of, I start the class out and then I just get out of the way. I just let them go. Last week was one of the most, I don't even know what the word is. I'm like Sharon was here a few minutes ago. We were studying in James and we read the first four verses, which we were supposed to read like 16. We read the first four verses and then, I mean, it was, the Holy Spirit just took over, and it was a discussion between everyone. And like I said, I just got out of the way. I just sat there in awe of what God can do. And that's pretty much the way that I am with you today. I don't feel worthy to be here, up here, or even back there. I don't feel comfortable in doing that, but I will do that. He calls us to be available, and we need to be available. When God calls you to do something, or, you know, and how do you get that call? It wasn't on my cell phone, it wasn't on the landline, or it wasn't over Facebook, and I say that, but then God puts an idea in my mind. That's how it works with me. He puts an idea in my mind. And lots of times I just disregard that. I don't want to do that. But he doesn't give up. You know, that idea comes back up. And it may be not just a thought this time, but it might be somebody like George that comes in and says, I want you to pray about this. Or it might be anybody here in this church. And lots of times it is people that I love so dearly here in this church and my family that are good Christian people that I interact with on a minute-by-minute basis that are so encouraging to me. and the idea might come from them. So that's the second time. I still don't want to do that. You know, I don't think that's for me. There's somebody else that can do a better job. Or maybe I feel like, well, I've got enough to do. You know, God, surely you don't want me to do that too. And I disregard it again. And then I'll study a Sunday school lesson. And it's like the Lord just grabbing me right by the throat and says, you are going to do this. And sometimes I can be just about as bad as Jonah was. Lord, I don't mind, you know, doing my little thing I've always done. Just leave me alone. I don't even, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Just let me do my little thing over here. And I'm probably going in the opposite direction. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to deal with those people. He hated those people. They were evil people. He didn't want to share the gospel of Christ with them and they could have eternal life just like his people. I'm not going to do that. I hate those people. I want to go over here and I want to preach to these people over here because I like them. Do we ever do that? Are we ever a Jonah? I keep putting my hands in my pockets and I ring that bell every time. We are Jonah sometimes too, aren't we? Thank goodness I've never been swallowed by a big fish. And I hope that I never am. But if that's what it takes, God will do it. But the thing we've got to remember there is that it was his decision to make. He could either go and do what God wanted him to do, or he could disobey God. And that's true with anything that God wants us to do. We study a lot about the life of Christ here on earth and of what an example, or he is the example for us as we are Christians, as to the life that we should live, the way that we should go about conducting ourselves, and the work that we have to do. We are created to worship God and to spread the gospel. And that's it. Everything else is sort of just mishmash, whatever that might be. We're created to worship God and to spread the gospel to other people. Let's look at Matthew 28. Verse 16. While you're looking that up, and you don't even have to look this one up, I know, but John 3:16, we've got to say this. Can we all just say this together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that we, whoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, so that is our mission. All right, we get over here in Matthew, or back there in Matthew, whichever way you're looking at it. Matthew 28:16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Now, even after we have read John 3:16, and after they have experienced all of the things that they have experienced with Jesus, some were doubtful. Is that a surprise? Well, you would think not, that it would be a surprise. But yet we look at our own lives, and are you ever doubtful? Sure we are. We're human. That's the devil's job, is to put doubt within us. We've got to cast that out. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them saying, now this is really important. If you're looking in your Bible, it's printed in red, which is what Jesus said. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so then comes what we're supposed to do. So God has all of the authority in heaven and earth. And this is the message to the disciples, and it's a message to you, and it's a message to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go, that's an action word, isn't it? That's not a sit-down word. That's not a, you know, it's an action word. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's forever. That's not till next week. That's not to the end of the year. That's not until you reach a certain age. That's forever, until the end of the age. So no matter what age we are, and this is not one of those gifts that God has given us, this is a command that he gives each and every one of us as a Christian. We can't pawn that off of saying, I don't have that gift to go and tell. I might have a gift to teach, or I might have a gift to be a teller, or you know, whatever it might be, or to cook, or whatever it is. This is not a gift. This is a command. Go and tell. And that's to each of us. We can't just pawn that off on the pastor and tell him, okay, you take care of that for us. We can't pass this off. We are accountable ourselves. Go and tell. Action. How do we do that? Where do we go? I haven't used any of my notes. Be still and know that I am God. The struggle to retain both our identity as God's people and our influence in the world goes to the very heart of what Christ has said. We are not of this world anymore, as I am not of this world. If you sent me into the world, then I also send you into the world. And that's John 17, verses 16 and 18. I'm going to ask you a question. How did God show up in your life today? Did he show up in your life today? Or did he show up and you were not aware of it? You were thinking of something else. Or you were concentrating on something else. I'm going to ask you another question. Are you obedient in living out your faith? And we can all look at that and say, just doing a self-evaluation. No. I'm not doing everything that God wants me to do. I have a note here at the bottom that says turn up paper, so I'm going to do that. The ultimate aim of the Christian life is to cultivate a constant awareness of God's presence. I'm going to say that, read that again. The ultimate aim of the Christian life is to cultivate a constant awareness of God's presence in our lives. That's the goal of all of the spiritual disciplines And being a farmer, you know, that pretty well hits home to me when you talk about cultivation. You know, and I know a lot of you are familiar with that as well. And our life has to be cultivated too. You know, there's got to be some weeds taken out. There's got to be some straight rows. And if they're not straight, they need to be straightened. Wow, it's 5:12. And nobody's got up and left or anything. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Often God will give us just enough light for the next step on our journey that He has planned for us. And that's all. Just enough light for the next step. He doesn't light the whole way. If He did, we'd be scared and wouldn't do it at all, would we? He gives us just enough light for that next step. God is so good, isn't He? We're going to do an invitation hymn. And if you've got a decision that you'd like to make, if you'd please come forward. If you want to accept Christ as your Savior, if you want to rededicate your life, if you want to join this church, if you want to pray by yourself, if you want to have one of our deacons pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. Our hymn